5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Level up, 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 level up. All this on me, so yummy. Hello, hello. It is the first Thursday in February 2026, and you're listening to Level Up with Dani. I'm your hostess, Dani Stockham. Today, I have a topic that's very prescient for me. It is about physical activity trends after retirement. The reason that I was thinking about this is because a lot of people my age are retiring, and what do we do with our lives and our fitness and our health journey after we retire? And there are a lot of studies, anecdotal evidence, and testimonial evidence that it's a really critical time. So I'm going to talk about that a little bit, and then do a reading from a book that I have that's called Everyday Self-Care, as well as play a few tunes and do my radio business, etc. So here's a little bit of background, factual background. Overall activity often declines, especially for people retiring from physically demanding jobs. So let's say you worked construction for 30 years. And you retire. 30 to 50% of retirees reduce their total physical activity within the first 5 years after retirement. Retirees from manual or active occupations experience the largest drop in daily movement. Retirees from sedentary jobs, like a desk job, are more likely to increase leisure time exercise by starting to do walks, maybe going to the gym, starting to play golf, go swimming. So retirement creates this fork in the road, so to say. Some people become more active, and many become significantly less active. Now, this is United States only. That's all I'm talking about right now. And according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, retirees ages 65 to 74, about 35 to 40% meet the recommended aerobic and strength guidelines. That's pretty low. And once you're 75 and over, that drops significantly down to 25 to 30%. Strength training declines the fastest, and fewer than 20% of adults 65 or over do muscle strengthening exercises twice a week. Now, as we all know, I started this show after I turned 60 because I put myself on a wellness program. And one of the first things that I did was start going to the gym twice a week with a trainer to build my muscle strength. And I have some muscles, which I'm happy to let you feel if you really want to. But it's a really important component of strengthening ourselves after retirement. I mean, it's important before retirement, but we're just talking about post-retirement behavior right now. So anyone over the age of 60 who retires, your muscle mass declines 1 to 2% per year. That has a name. It's called sarcopenia, not to be confused with osteopenia, which is the density of your bones. This is actual muscle mass declining, 1 to 2% per year. And strength declines up to 3% per year. So the average retiree gains 5 to 10 pounds within 5 to 7 years of activity drops. Balance and gait speed worsen, increasing your fall risk. Balance is so key. I mean, I found that before I went on my wellness journey, my balance was compromised already from having a broken neck and decreased ability to move my head side to side, as well as a stroke that I suffered in 2020. So I have a significant foot drop on my left foot. My balance was terrible. And I certainly wasn't strong. So a fall risk was dramatic. If I fell, for sure I was going to get hurt and definitely break at least one bone. Now, here's an important thing about these changes to your body. These are not inevitable. They're strongly linked to inactivity, not age alone. So don't think clock strikes 60, I'm now 60, I'm going to start falling apart. Not inevitable. It's about what you commit yourself to as far as activity goes. Now, there are health outcomes that are tied to fitness after retirement. People who remain physically active after retirement show a 30 to 40% lower risk of cardiovascular disease, a 25 to 35% lower risk of type 2 diabetes, up to 50% lower fall risk. I can attest to this. Lower rates of depression and cognitive decline. I'm sharp as a tack. And delayed onset of disability by 7 to 10 years. Well, that's a good stat. Regular movement is one of the strongest predictors of independent living in the 70s, 80s, and beyond. And I have anecdotal evidence of this. My mother-in-law is about to be 79. She lives on her own, maintains a home, drives, has an active lifestyle, and she has really recommitted herself to her physical well-being. And my father is every bit of 87, and he's always been committed to physical fitness, although I think he probably took, I'm going to say 20 years off for sure, where he was just loafing around. But he's a runner, so he still runs, you know, upwards of 10 miles every few days. He does weight training. He has a weight set up in his house. He lives independently. He has a dog and several cats, it looks like. So regular movement is one of the strongest predictors of independent living. Now, post-retirement exercise is associated with a 20 to 30% lower risk of dementia. And I don't care who you are, if you're over 60, you're thinking about dementia and Alzheimer's. We can't help it. It's like the first thing that happens when you start forgetting things. You're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Why am I so forgetful? I'm just getting old. Well, keep exercising. Keep that blood flowing. It also has improved executive function and memory and reduces loneliness when exercise is social, like you're in a walking group or you go to the gym or you play pickleball. So your overall loneliness is also really decreased when you are doing exercise in a social setting. So this aligns with the findings from the World Health Organization, which identifies physical activity as a key protective factor against cognitive decline. So it helps you stay sharp. So even modest activity matters. 150 minutes a week of moderate activity, walking, let's say, that counts. 2 days a week of strength training and balance training, 2 to 3 times a week, yoga, tai chi, Pilates. People doing half the recommended amount still see meaningful health benefits compared to being sedentary. And I can say that I'm hitting all three of these. I definitely do 2 days a week of strength training with my trainer, Larry. I try to do 2 days a week of Pilates, but sometimes my travel gets in the way of that. And there's balance training that my Pilates instructor does with me on that. Larry also does some balance training. And I walk twice a week on average, about an hour and a half each time. So I'm getting my 150 minutes of aerobic activity. The biggest risk factors for fitness decline after retirement is loss of a daily routine. So here you're going to work every day, and maybe you're that person who gets up an hour and a half early and does a little exercise before work, or maybe you're that person that incorporates your exercise at the end of your workday. And there are people that exercise on their lunch hour. So one of the risk factors is you retire and now you don't have a daily routine. So you're like, you know, I'm not on my schedule. My alarm clock's not going off at 6. Now I've gotten out of the habit of getting up early and exercising. There's also an identity shift, like I earned my rest mindset. You know, I worked physically. in the construction field or PG&E or as a law enforcement, something physical, and now you're retired and you're like, I earned this. I don't have to be on the go all the time. There's also maybe you have chronic pain. A lot of people that have desk jobs, you know, develop back issues. And when you're done going to work because you're retired, that pain becomes more debilitating because you're faced with it in every part of your day. Getting out of bed, sitting down to watch TV, getting up to go get a snack, you know, taking out the garbage bins, bringing up the garbage bins, whatever it is. Like this pain that was kind of like a nagging pain, but you still had to go to work every day. Now it's chronic and you're not moving. So this is something that happens and it helps your fitness decline, which is not something we're going for. Also, social isolation. So all your friends are related to your workplace because that's where you spend so much time. And then you retire and you're alone. I mean, I know many people who have retired and they still, you know, once a week go visit their previous place of employment just to get that feeling again of being around people that know you and care about you. And there's also fear of injury or falling. So you're not taking any risks, let's say. You're not thinking, oh, I'm going to go join the gym. You're afraid. There's fear around that, where maybe you didn't have time to be afraid of that because you were going to work every day. So you're like, whatever, I'll get to that later. But now there's real palatable fear around that. And I can relate to that. So retirement doesn't cause physical decline. Inactivity does. Retirement simply removes the structure that used to keep people moving. And I just think that that's real key, you know, and that's for men or women. That's for blue collar or white collar. You know, this is a mental health, longevity, independence, emotional, social decline that can be avoided if we commit to a physical wellness program post-retirement. So I was thinking about all of these things, and then I started thinking, I wonder how we in the United States compare with the rest of the world. And I was talking to my trainer a little bit about this, and it's really quite eye-opening. So if you have your physical activity standards, let's say, worldwide standards of that I just went over, like weight training twice a week, balance work 1 to 2 times a week, and 150 minutes of aerobic activity. So those are daily guidelines. In the United States, about 35% of people meet those. In Western Europe, 45 to 55%. In Nordic countries, it's 55 to 65%. And in Japan, it's 50 to 60%. Now, older adults in many peer countries stay active at a much higher rate than American. Why? Why is the U.S. behind? Well, one reason is the built environment. U.S. retirees rely heavily on cars. Many suburbs lack sufficient sidewalks, safe crossings, nearby destinations, where in Europe and Japan, walking is built into your daily life. Transit requires walking by default. So in the U.S., we schedule our exercise, whereas in the rest of the world, movement is incidental and unavoidable. Strength and balance training. In the U.S., less than 20% of adults 65 and over do regular strength training. In Japan and Scandinavia, 35% to 50% participate. Balance training in these countries consists of things like Tai Chi and group calisthenics. This is normalized. You'll go by a place in Japan or Scandinavia, by a park or any outdoor area, and you're going to see groups of people doing exercises and Tai Chi, and no one thinks, oh, that's weird. Where here we'd be like, oh, what's going on over there? Why are all those people in the yard? Like, it would look unnatural to us, although I have seen Tai Chi many times here in my town, like at the local junior college. They have this huge lawn, and I've seen people doing Tai Chi, and I'm really interested in that. Japan, in particular, their community-based exercise programs, which are often free and outdoors, are major contributor to their low fall and disability rates. You just don't see that in Japan. I was going to mention obesity, but I don't have to because it's the next thing on my list. Compared to the U.S., retirees in active countries show lower obesity rates. In the U.S., people 65 and over, about 42% are obese. In Western Europe, it's 20 to 30%. In Japan, less than 10%. They also, therefore, have a lower rate of type 2 diabetes, lower rate of cardiovascular disease, and lower rate of mobility-related disabilities. In the United States, chronic disease prevalence is directly related to inactivity in older adults. I mean, in a lot of European countries and Japan, you see older people riding bikes. Like, that's just normalized. Here, if we saw a 75-year-old woman riding a bike, we'd be like, so afraid. It would look so odd. I mean, I'm sure there's 75-year-old women out there who are racing around on their bikes, but it's just not commonplace, where it is definitely commonplace in Europe and Japan as well. So countries with higher post-retirement activity also report lower loneliness, lower depression, a higher sense of purpose, because exercise is a social activity. Retirees remain visible in public life. Aging does not equate to withdrawing from society, although we do see that here in America. People retire and they just isolate. They don't have their peer group from their work. Maybe their kids are grown and moved away, and, you know, they're just isolating until they have a place to go or something to do. And this can become habitual, and it's very dangerous. There's a few, like, examples of language. Like, in the U.S., it's like, I've earned my rest. And in other countries, their philosophy is, now I have time to move. In the U.S., we equate exercise with going to the gym, and a lot of people can't afford to go to the gym, are intimidated by going to the gym. And in other countries, exercise is equivalent to just living. In America, we think of aging as time to slow down. And in many other countries, they think of aging as a way, as the start of our adaptation. We're adapting to a new way of living. So this mindset difference alone predicts activity levels. In the United States, retirement often removes movement from daily life. In many other countries, retirement finally gives people time to move. And this is a concern for me. It's a fear for me. I've seen just too many people who retire, and I talked about it on an earlier show. They retire, men particularly, and that nagging backache or that weird feeling on their side or that kind of swelling in their leg that they've ignored because they're busy and they're working and they've got to raise a family and take care of the bills. Now they're retired and suddenly that swelling in their leg, that pain in their side, that back pain is so chronic and so debilitating that they end up, you know, finally going to the doctors and find out it's something terrible, catastrophic, maybe cancer, maybe, you know, your blood pressure's super high and you're at the risk for a heart attack or a stroke. And this is the American society. You work until you die. We just don't make time for ourselves until we're forced to. And that is no way to live. Now, in order to not be preachy and privileged, I'm going to be very cautious about my own personal comments about how I changed my life. But I do want to say this. Everything that I do for my wellness has a free or low-cost counterpart. It just so happens that I have been a member of a gym for 25 years, 27 years. And I never went. That's my husband's thing. He's a gym rat. He goes every day. So that's how we justified our membership. And when I just always had like anxiety about going to the gym. Like people would be paying attention to me and laughing at me or saying, oh my gosh, did you see Boyd's wife? He's so fit and she's a roly-poly pig walk. Or whatever they would say, you know, she's so weak or she's whatever. I mean, yes, this is all self-talk and in my head, but it paralyzed me from going to the gym. And when I turned 60 and decided to stop drinking and make all these dramatic choices in my life, the gym that I was already paying for was something that I decided to undertake. And I'm so glad I did because I met my trainer and he really has shaped and changed my body in so, so many ways. And guess what? No one cares. No one looks at you. No one talks about you. Everyone's there to do their thing. I mean, occasionally, you know, you'll say hi to people or whatever. Hey, how's it going? Like today, this girl said to me, gosh, you look so good. And I was like, you look so good. And she was like working out adjacent to me probably for the last 2 years. And her body transformation is stunning. And I'm like, you must be so proud of yourself. Because why wouldn't you be? Like, that's so great. But typically, no one looks at me and I don't really look at anyone. I'm too busy trying to make sure I don't fall off the BOSU ball or slip while I'm on the TRX straps. So it's just not like I thought it was going to be. And it's become vital for my health and wellness. My walking that I do it with my friends. Like, we have a walking group on Sunday, which is neighborhood gals. And on Wednesday, I walk with my friend Trish. We've been walking together for, I don't know, 4 years maybe. And on every other Friday, I try to walk with my other friend Chris. But gosh, we've missed a lot of weeks and we were just texting about it. Like, we got to get back on our schedule. But I picked up Pilates and I do Pilates on Monday at 1 o'clock and Friday at noon. So that kind of infringes on my walking time with Chris, because what Chris and I love about each other is that neither one of us are motivated to get out of bed too early in the morning. So we were walking at like 10:30, 11 o'clock, and that would be too late for me to walk and still make it to Pilates. So we're going to have to adjust that or pick another day. I could pick another day too. Anyways, but walking is free. Anyone can walk anywhere. And all you need is some music or a friend. So I encourage everyone to do that part. The 150 minutes will be done before you know it. Even if you walk every day, like after you have your lunch. I have some friends that they walk every single night after dinner. They just get up after dinner and go on a walk. And sometimes that sounds to me like, oh, dread. The weather's not nice at night, and you got to bundle up, and who wants to leave after you just ate dinner? But it becomes a ritual. This practice becomes important, and you want to do it. My trainer was saying that a lot of people that he knows that are over 60, they use the excuse of, I have to walk my dog. And that's how they get out of the house, in the morning for the dog walk, maybe in the afternoon for the dog walk, maybe in the evening. So if you need something to motivate you, your dog needs a walk too. So that's a good one. And I mean, not having a dog is not free, but walking with your dog is free. And as for the weight training, the weight-bearing exercises, this is so important, not just for muscles, but also for your bone health. Nothing better for keeping your bones dense than weight-bearing exercises. whether that's a weighted vest that you walk with, or you put on a backpack and fill it with rocks. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do weight-bearing exercises that you can combine with your walks. I saw this lady on TikTok the other day, and she was doing like her squats and her leg lifts and her lunges in her kitchen, holding onto her kitchen counter. And I mean, we can all do that. Instead of standing at the kitchen counter eating a bag of chips, stand at the kitchen counter and do your stretches and your lunges and your squats. So there's lots of ways to do this. Now, in my little book that I brought called Everyday Self-Care, this is a chapter on, it's called Get Physical. Like many people, you may not enjoy exercise and therefore find it difficult to align it with self-care. When it becomes a chore rather than something we enjoy, it can be difficult to stay motivated and easy to find excuses to miss your gym class or lie in bed an extra hour instead of going for the morning run. At those times, it can be good to remember why exercise is an important part of self-care. Why is exercise so good for you? Many health benefits. Your heart is a pump, which needs to be exercised to work at its best. When the blood is circulating properly around the body, it supports all the essential organs of the body. Good circulation also clears out the waste and toxins in the body and increases the level of oxygen to the body and the brain. Exercise provides stress relief and triggers the release of feel-good chemicals such as dopamine, endorphins, and serotonin. It helps you to control your weight, allowing you to eat more of what you love. I don't know about that. Exercise helps you sleep better and gives you more energy. Well, that is the missing piece of my wellness program, better sleep. It's a struggle. To make exercise part of your life, set yourself realistic goals. Telling yourself you're going to exercise daily is setting yourself up for failure. Start small and add more to your exercise regime as you become fitter. And then the next thing is about your posture and da-da-da-da-da. That's another thing about aging and retiring. People who sit at a desk all day, let's say over a keyboard, typey-typey-type, your posture is not great. It's hard to sit up straight and type unless your keyboard is raised. So when you retire and you're slumping around in your house and collapsing on the couch or stretching out on your chaise in the backyard, your posture is starting to suffer. Those muscles that keep you upright, your core muscles, are weakening. So that is very important when you exercise to engage those core muscles. I was doing an exercise today, and I kept saying, no, I'm scared. Like, I don't want to do that. I'm going to fall. And my trainer said, Danny, engage your core. I was like, oh, that old thing. Like, I totally forgot. I wasn't thinking about my core because it was kind of a leg exercise, a balance exercise. But once I did think about engaging my core, no problem. I killed it. All right, I'm going to play some music. Stand by.
Through the winter's ice and cold, down Nicollet Avenue, a city of flame fought fire and ice, neath an occupier's boots. King Trump's private army from the DHS, guns belted to their coats, came to Minneapolis to enforce the law, or so their story goes. Against smoke and rubber bullets, in the dawn's early light, citizens stood for justice
Their voices ringing through the night. And there were bloody footprints where mercy should have stood. And two dead left to die on snow-filled streets, Alex Pretty and Renee Good. Oh, Minneapolis, I hear your voice singing through the bloody mist. We'll take our stand for this land and the stranger in our midst. Here in our home they killed and roamed in the winter of 26. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Trump's federal thugs beat up on his face and his chest. Then we heard the gunshots and Alex Pretty lay in the snow dead. Their claim was self-defense, sir. Just don't believe your eyes. It's our blood and bones and these whistles and phones against Miller and Noam's dirty lies. Oh, I'm Minneapolis, I hear your voice crying through the bloody mist. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. Now they say they're here to uphold the law, but they trample on our rights. If your skin is black or brown, my friend, you can be questioned or deported on sight. In our chains of ice out now, our city's heart and soul persist. Through broken glass and bloody tears on the streets of Minneapolis. Oh, I'm Minneapolis, I hear your singing through the bloody mist. Here in our home they killed and roamed in the winter of 26. We'll take our stand for this land and the stranger in our midst. We'll remember the names of those who died on the streets of Minneapolis. On the streets of Minneapolis.
A big cow's thanks goes out to Heidi at ShipShapeSystems.com for her support of community radio. Heidi works to help clients bring body, mind, and spirit in harmony using a process called conscious connected breathing. To find out more about her service, you can visit ShipShapeSystems.com.
We thank Mac Daddy Repairs for their ongoing support. They are a West County computer and phone repair center featuring on-site and remote support. They're located at 301 North Main Street in Sebastopol and can be reached by email at support@MacDaddyRepairs.com or by phone at 707-861-9403.
Cows thanks Dr. Robert Shulman for his support. Dr. Shulman is board certified in a broad spectrum of physical and integrative medicines, as well as prolotherapy. His offices are located at 95 Montgomery Drive in Santa Rosa. You can find out more at westcountyintegrativemedicine.com.
Cows would like to thank Barrel Proof Lounge in Santa Rosa for their underwriting support. Located at 501 Mendocino in the Brickyard Center, they feature live music, karaoke, trivia, comedy, and more. Their website is barrelprooflounge.com, and they can be found on Facebook and Instagram.
You knew I was going to play the Bruce song again. I have a PSA. You can make an impact and help build a stronger local economy while earning rewards at the same time. Your Go Local Rewards card is honored at 150 Sonoma County businesses that offer discounts for cardholders. Go Local cards can be obtained free at Corix in Santa Rosa or on the website golocal.coop. Remember, every local dollar spent keeps $3 to $4 in our community. For more information, visit golocal.coop. So that's a PSA for today. I also have a program promotional announcement. Join Uncle Dave and his brother Howard, along with a handful of Sonoma County hippies, as they continue to live the hippie life and bring it to you at 2 p.m. every Tuesday afternoon. Tune in for revolution and great music. That's right, be there or be square. Every Tuesday, participants test a different grower's sample and then discuss their thoughts on air. Hippies, bikers, local attorneys, and all sorts of groovy folks stop by to discuss everything. And you can also be a part of the adventure and call in and talk about what's important to you. Be the best that you can be. No one can be better than you. The Real Hippie Hour with Uncle Dave and Howard comes to you every Tuesday at 2 p.m. on KOWS Community Radio, streaming to the whole wide world at kwsfm.com. Participants test a different grower's sample and then discuss their thoughts on air. Grower's sample, hippies. Curious. Okay, current event. This is an ongoing current event. It's kind of a really cool idea. I think I talked about it on my last show. I definitely did because we do it every time. It is called KOWS Host with the Herd. Are you looking for a new experience, a way to share your love of music? Cows Radio is excited to announce our new Host with the Herd program. That's right. A $100 donation makes you eligible to join an experienced radio host. I guess that's me. Live on the air as a guest host. You'll have an hour to share music, and if you like, let our listeners know why the selections you made are meaningful to you. After the show, you'll receive a Cows t-shirt, a recording of your show, a photo of you in the studio, and a certificate for you to brag. Experience the excitement of broadcasting live over the airwaves. Email us today at kows@sonic.net to get started. $100 gets you on the air. Okay, I was looking for music for today's show, and I was like, there was a song that I wanted to play, but of course I didn't know what it was called or who sang it. And then I was like, okay, I think I know who sings it. It's like Luke Combs or something like that. But it's kind of a song about his dad getting older. And it's a real tearjerker. So I'm going to play it because if I'm crying, y'all should be crying too. This is called Remember Him That Way.
There's an old man in a lazy boy, TV on a Western, fast asleep, gray in his hair, at least what's left, but the heart of a lion beating in his chest. And there's a little more slow in his go, a little less rock in his roll these days.
I remember him 10 feet tall and bulletproof, throwing me a ball in cowboy boots. A whistle and the dog started running, a whisper and mama starts blushing, a wrench in his hand and a beer in the other. I couldn't make a man any tougher, and that ass on his chest is starting to fade. But I'll always remember him that way. I used to think that he'd never get old. That kind of thing was for regular Joe. And he tries real hard to put up a fight, but I guess time is his kryptonite. 'Cause I remember him 10 feet tall and bulletproof, throwing me a ball in cowboy boots, a whistle in the dog started running, a whisper in mama starts blushing, a wrench in his hand.
A good one, wasn't it? I really like that song. So while that was playing, I was breezing through this little book called Everyday Self-Care, the little book that helps you take care of you. And there's a little thing. It's called Release Tension. The body holds tension. When we feel anxious, our breathing becomes shallow and our shoulders rise. By taking deep breaths and shaking out the shoulders, you will release tension, improve your posture, and immediately feel lighter and happier. And it says, I breathe and I know that I am breathing. So, so important. And then there's a little thing called snack attack. And this is definitely something that happens when you're home more, whether that's your vacation week or if you're fully retired. And here's some ideas for some healthy snacks. Hummus with raw carrots or celery. I can't tell you how much of this I eat. Carrots are a lovely sweet vegetable and delicious raw for a mid-morning or mid-afternoon snack. Crackers with hummus and a great dollop of freshly chopped parsley. Parsley is very tasty and also provides masses of natural calcium for healthy bones and teeth. Nuts. Almonds, Brazil nuts, hazelnuts are particularly good, but minimize salty nuts. Well, that takes all the fun out of it. The salt's the good part. Canned sardines. I'll give you a dollar if this is what you eat for a snack. Hugely nutritious and great on a piece of toast with a squeeze of lemon and a handful of chopped parsley, or in a stir fry. I mean, I love sardines, but I don't eat them. Toast with butter and nut butter. Nut butter is a great snack because it gives you some protein. It says casseroles and soups, have a cook-up and freeze them so you've always got something yummy to eat. Yeah, but you still got to take it out and thaw it out and heat it up and put it in a bowl. And I'm lazy. Fresh fruit. Keep it in the fridge so it's always available, but doesn't spoil. Okay. The next page is called the fennel trick. So I thought this was interesting. At one time or another, most of us have eaten too much in one meal and instantly feel bloated. Or every meal. Luckily, there's an easy fix for a stuffed and bloated tummy. It's called fennel. One of the simplest ways to incorporate it into your diet is to chew about 20 fennel seeds after a meal. I have never heard of this. Fennel helps to digest heavy sauces and carb-centric dishes. This is why you see a bowl of fennel seeds at the exit of many Indian restaurants. Drinking warm water will also help loosen the bloat. Lessen the bloat, not loosen. Although loosen is part of lessening. I don't know. I just thought those were interesting tidbits. I want to say one thing about, you know, starting a wellness journey or facing retirement and thinking how you're going to continue to keep your health and wellness. One of the things that motivates me to really show up for my appointments is, you know, I'm older. I'll be 64 this year. And I had my kids when I was 38 and 40. So, you know, I'm an older mom, which means I'm going to be an old grandmother. My girls are 23 and 24, and there's no prospects on the near horizon for them to be married and busting out kids. But I would feel terrible if I wasn't fit enough or healthy enough or well enough to hold, cuddle, play with, care for, help out with my grandchildren. So that is why I get out of bed and do the things that I do. That's the predominant reason. I mean, aside from the fact that, you know, you don't want to miss out on life because you don't feel good or you're not healthy or you're a burden because you're a slow walker. I'm a slow walker. Or, you know, you need assistance everywhere you go. I need assistance everywhere I go. But it doesn't matter. Like, the reason that I'm doing all of this and whatever your motivation would be is I want to be here for that next generation and I want to participate. I don't want to just sit on the sidelines because I'm too weak to hold the baby or too unflexible to get on the ground or too weak to get the baby out of the crib or put the baby in the car seat. You know, those are things that take a degree of health, and I need to be healthy enough to do that. So that was kind of one of the major motivators for me to start my health and wellness journey. That and gravity. Gravity is not just a concept you learn in science class. Gravity grabs hold of your skin and pulls on it hard and heavy. And you got to tighten up that skin with the muscle underneath. So that was another motivating factor. Hey, guess what? American Idol's back on. I'm so excited. I watched some auditions last night. And, you know, usually I watch it with my daughter, Grace. But she's living in Dallas, so she's in a different time zone. And it's really infringing on my back and forth, you know, because we talk about every person and all the judges and every comment, and, you know, it's a real time. But I watched it last night with my husband. I mean, he was less than enthused. And one person, he was like, oh, God, that's terrible. And he's like, what? They like that person? And then I think he fell asleep. But the final audition from Monday Night Show, which I just watched last night, yes, I was a little behind. The final audition was this kid, and he, you know, I don't even remember where he's from. I think someplace in California, but I don't know. Anyways, he auditioned a few years ago. He played the guitar and sang, and his sister played, like, the fiddle, violin in the background. And the judges went gaga over him. He was, like, it. They were like, you could win the show. You're that good. He did an original song. And so he made it to Hollywood Week, and he never came to the show because he had some mental health struggles, and they were afraid, based on his mental health at the time, that it would be too much for him. So he chose to take care of himself instead of pursue his dream. Well, he's back this year to try out. And he went through some stuff, some real heavy stuff, some stuff that I could relate to on the mental health journey that I was on with my daughter, her journey, and, you know, the parents talked, and you could just see how harrowing it is when your child has a mental health struggle. But he came back and tried out and played another song, another original song, which he called a suicide prevention song. And there were tears. And right when he was finishing his audition, my phone rang, and it was my daughter, Grace, who I usually watch the show with. And I answered the phone, and I said, "Are you crying?" And she's like, "What?" And she goes, "I'm not that upset." And I was like, "Oh, I thought you were watching Idol and the last contestant." She goes, "No, I haven't even started it." She's like, "Mom, I'm calling about the Warriors trade." And I was like, "What?" And she's like, "Yeah, we traded Kuminga and Buddy Hield for Porzingis from Atlanta." And she's like going on and on about how it's a stupid trade and how could they get rid of Buddy, and we love Buddy, and everybody knew Kuminga was going to go, but she didn't think Buddy Hield was going to go. And then Porzingis is not even playing right now because he hurt his Achilles. It's not torn, but it's strained. And he also got diagnosed with POTS, P-O-T-S, which is like a, it's like a kind of, it cut, the symptoms mimic like altitude sickness, but he gets super dehydrated and he's dizzy and weak and, you know, has trouble catching his breath. So he has that, and he has this Achilles issue. So, like, we got him in the trade, but it's not like he's going to help us. So I concocted a whole thing that we're going to trade Porzingis and Pajemski to Milwaukee for Giannis. And then my daughter told me today that Giannis already rejected that offer. So I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know why the Warriors think getting an injured Porzingis helps us, but it's so weird. They didn't ask my opinion, and I'm hurt by it, I must say. So anyways, Idol's back, and you know, last year during Idol, I played all the Carrie Underwood songs every week because I love her, but I have another song by Luke Combs to play. Luke Combs. It's called Growing Up and Getting Old. He really writes a lot about this, I think. That's interesting. That's all I have to say about that. So here's the song by Luke Combs, and then I'll be back with some closing remarks.
I still hit them dive bars every once in a blue moon. Got a wild card that I keep inside my boot. I've been thinking lately, maybe I should save it. Some hangovers sure kick my ass these days. So I spend most of my happy hours here at home, in the middle of growing up and getting old.
I just look before I take on. But I can still raise hell all night with the boys when I want to. Lay that hammer down to see how fast you go. But these days I hang my hat on what I won't do. And I've been finding peace of my soul in my role. Learn to toe that line with time as it goes.
In the middle of growing up and getting old.
I've never heard that song before, but I really like it. I put this on my social media, I think last week, maybe the week before, but it was this thing I read about how we talk about our days on the earth. you know, someone says, how's it going? Oh, and we say, oh, another day in paradise. Well, instead of saying another day in paradise, it's another it's one less day in paradise. It's one less day in paradise. Every day we live is one less day we have to live. And if you switch your brain to think of every day as one less day, it makes you value those days just a little bit more. We have an employee at our company who is in the hospital. He had a stroke, and it's those kind of things that happen that make you think life can be so cruel and so fragile, and we have to embrace every day that we have because it's one less day that we have. So I dedicate this show to John Dove and his lovely wife Susan as he continues to recover. And he's part of our Stockholm family, and he'll always be part of our Stockholm family. So let's be nice to each other out there. There's a lot of venom and vitriol in the world. We don't need to absorb it. We don't need to participate in it. It is our job to recognize it, and when it affects us and those we love, which should be every human being walking the planet, we can call it out. But we can't allow it to take away our own joy and our own goals for every day and how we want to spend it, honoring this beautiful body that God gave us so that we can walk the earth, stand up tall, breathe deep, and get down on the floor with our grandkids. That's how I'm doing it, and I want you all to join me because the days are dwindling. Every day is one less day we have to get started. So start today. I will be back on the air on February 19th. So until then, this has been Level Up with Danny. I'm your host, Danny Stockholm, at KOWS LP 92.5 in Occidental, California.